Brother Tyre, if you would help us tonight with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Amen. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Praise God. In other words, the Lord just told us that we know He is God. And knowing that, He has sealed us with the very best that His Spirit has to offer. And that is His Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we can call it Spirit all day long, but it's got to come with the holiness, because He is holy. Amen. And so let's look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. We will be sealed until the day of redemption. I'm jumping ahead of myself tonight, but I will tell you this. It has not been a many of days or a many of years that has passed that every denomination in this world preached holiness. And they taught holiness. And they had standards, rules for which they derived from the Word of God and lived accordingly, no matter what the world had to say about it. But we've long since lost a lot of that, and a lot more will be lost if we don't preach it and if we don't teach it. Amen. And so you fall away. You don't have to preach against something to lose it in a church or an organization or a denomination. You don't have to preach against it to lose it. You just don't have to say anything at all. Just say nothing at all. And it won't be long. It will take wings of flight. Because the Lord will not allow any of His characteristics into a congregation where it is not invited. And tonight, I want us to be man enough, and I want us to be woman enough, right at the very onstart. I want us to be young people enough to invite the very attributes of God into this sanctuary to make us pure and holy as He would have us to be. Amen? Why don't we do that tonight? Let's just invite the holiness of God to come in to... Another time we'll pray for His blessings. Another time we'll pray over your finances. But tonight we're praying over His holiness. Another characteristic that God desires to pour out and to give every individual, no matter who they are. Hallelujah. We need it tonight. We need that divine, holy character of Jesus Christ tonight in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God richly bless you as you're seated tonight. Amen. And we're teaching on the mark of the best being the holiness of the Lord. We're not going to talk about the mark of the beast, because we'll leave that for the world to take on after the rapture's taken place. Amen. And so the body of Christ will, just like a normal body, will reject a foreign object. And by that, let me just say this. We get our height, we get our eye color, our hair color, from genes that are passed on from our parents. And that they are the ones that made us who we are. And, you know, it's so funny. Little Cooper was born. Oh, he's got his daddy's nose. He's got his mama's eyes. He's got grandpa's ears. He's got... Poor guy. He's got parts from everywhere. But it's true. It's true. And I see even attributes of his great-grandfather in Missouri. He's got just... He's not a real tall man, but he's got massive hands, and Cooper's hands already are that wide. So characteristics and genes from all of that. He's got more Marshburn. Take that as you please. And all of that comes from inheritance, comes from genes that come down from the family. This is the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of the Living God. And we can't change it as we go. You cannot change the body of Christ as you go. Unholiness, just as we were talking earlier about the body rejecting something foreign, such as a splinter or something in your finger. The white blood cells will build up, and if you don't get it out, well, then the body will push it right out. Pressure from the white blood cells will push that right out, and the body will discard it. And when you're in the church where every attribute of Jesus Christ and every attribute of God is being taught and preached, you will find that the longer you are in the church and the more you worship God and the deeper you want to get with God, the less comfortable the flesh actually becomes. And there will be substances that the body will begin to, the spirit man will begin to reject, because you have been born again. And it don't matter if you have blue eyes, brown eyes, or hazel eyes, or both. It doesn't matter. You have taken on the genes now of your real father, and his name is Jesus. And those genes, those spiritual genes, are going to begin to be passed on to you. And the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You're not yours now, you're mine. I'm your daddy. And so I want you to look like me. I want you to act like... I want people to say he's got his daddy's eyes. He's got his daddy's hands. He's got his daddy's feet. He's got his daddy's nature. He's got his dad's character. And that's going to take being enveloped in holiness. Amen? Holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. Amen. Now, we do not stress to be holy so that we can say we are and you're not. I'm going to prove to you that we can be as holy as we want to, and yet in the eyes of God, we're still like filthy rags. I'll give you scripture for that in a little while. But so we are holy, and we try to get as holy as we can, not to be saved. Salvation comes free. But we try and endeavor to be as holy as we possibly can, because we know one thing, and that is this: it pleases God. Amen? And we'll talk about, in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about attributes that please God more than others. Short hair on men, long hair on women. Amen. The Bible speaks of things being shameful and nature itself teaching you. Amen. I don't want to stand before God and Him be ashamed of me. That means He detests me. He's embarrassed of me. I don't think He's going to allow anything in the kingdom of God that He's embarrassed of. We'll talk about all these things. And so we'll lay a format tonight. But the Bible says also that pride goeth before a fall. We talked about lions moving their pride before they fell. Amen. But if you stay in that area of pride, then where we're talking about a spiritual or a physical pride that has overwhelmed you, and you'd rather wear this and look like this than look like anything God wants you to because you're too proud and arrogant, you're going to fall. You're simply going to fall. Amen. You say you're prophesying? No, I'm promising. Because, and you know what? Some people do not come out of the dark. I'm talking about out of the world and out of sin and out of all of that. You do not come out overnight. And so you may not come into the light overnight. I've been in this thing a long time. I'm working on nearly 40 years or so. And so, you know, I'm still coming into the light. And I hope by the time I breathe my last breath or I go into the rapture, the latter I prefer, that I'm still learning. Amen. I'm hoping that when my feet lose gravity, that I would have found out something I didn't know. Rather than to tell God where to get off. Got enough. It's enough for me. It's never enough, because the Bible says perfecting. Perfecting. That's ongoing. Amen. We are to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. The pioneers of our present day apostolic church, they were part of a great holiness movement that swept denominationalism near the beginning of this century. When they received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God convicted them of fleshly lust and worldliness. Many were compelled to separate from people and organizations that they loved without the advantage of formal training or scholarships. They searched the scriptures, and the Word of God meant everything to them as it does to us. As they discovered truth, it became their standard. The message, that's why we're called the United Pentecostal Church. Did you know that? I need to give a history lesson of the United Pentecostal Church one Tuesday night. Amen. We come from a conglomerate of organizations. The Assembly of God, the Church of God, some Methodists sprinkled in there, amen, and some Baptists sprinkled all in there. And it all came together, the great conference in the early 40s, and they labeled it the United Pentecostal Church International. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's an awesome thing. Because they searched the scriptures and the Word of God meant everything, as they discovered the truth, it became their standard. The message of holiness and separation determined their identity. They became known as the holiness people or holy rollers. Right? Amen. The generation, you can call it what you want to, but I got some exciting news today. Brother Drake shared with me, there's an individual that he and I both know that owns, does he still own he owned a restaurant and has passed it on to friends and family members, whoever, and has been gone. He moved back to Egypt and has been there over 5 or 6 years. And we found out today through a friend of his here in town that he went over there, and he just doesn't talk about the Lord. He talks about our church. He's telling everybody in Egypt, where they're having so much turmoil and they're having so much problems. Amen. Amen. Brother Drake told me today that Muslims are calling and asking us to pray for them. Can you believe that? Amen. The righteous are asking us infidels to pray for them. but they're asking for Landmark to pray for them specifically. They said, because that church is different than any other church that we have ever seen in America or around the world. That church stands for the same God of Abraham and Moses and Joshua. Their God goes all the way back as our God does. Brother Drake said, I'm going to be in touch with him again, probably even as close as right after the service. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. And I told Brother Drake, I said, if I had 30 seconds, I'd tell you what I would tell him. He said, tell me and I'll tell him. And I said, you just tell him the difference between us is that he's still living in the Old Testament. And sad to say, some of our churches in America are still living in the Old Testament. They are. I'm telling you. Amen. And I went on to explain. I said that they are seeing the hinder parts of God. Moses said, I've got to see you. And the Lord said, I can't show you my face, but I can show you my hinder parts. Now, I'm just telling you, Moses did not see the backside of God. It was not a physical form. If you'll read through there and study it, you'll find out that it was the glory of God. And the backside of God was that Moses would understand and see every attribute of God of the Old Testament. In other words, I'm going to give it to in the wilderness. I'm going to give you the tabernacle plan. I'm going to give you all of that. I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. You're going to know what I demand and command of my people for the Old Testament. You're going to see the backside of me. But when the New Testament comes, I'm going to show my people my face. Amen. And when Jesus Christ was born in a manger, the angel Gabriel was finally able to say his name. They saw his backside, but we now see him face to face, and his name is Jesus. I said, Matthew, you've got to tell him who that God is. The next time you talk to him, tell him that he doesn't have to view his backside, but now he can see his front side. I'm telling you, folks, amen, this church is affecting people from North America all the way to the other side of the world. What is God up to? I don't know. But I know this. I want everything I got to have to be a part of what he's going to do. I don't want him falling on this assembly in some major, powerful way. And for me to have my batteries low. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it is. Generations have followed, and they've not been as energetic in their pursuit of godliness and holiness. Neither have they been able to hold on to all that was dear to the pioneers. Great losses have been sustained, one generation at a time. Somebody three generations ago said, oh, I don't believe this little thing is necessary. Well, they were not thinking about the generations to come. Because the next generation came and it went a little deeper and it wasn't necessary. And I'm telling you today before the Lord, you'll see people in church in bikinis. You'll see people in the church without underwear. You'll see, and that doesn't. And even today, I could say that in America in some places, and they say, so? Because not only is the standard gone, but the conviction of it is gone. I'm just telling you spiritually, you cannot tear a fence down until you know why that fence was put up. Right? And so the slide continues. Where there's a lack of true biblical perspective, holiness is not optional. It is an imperative of Scripture. God's Word has always commanded His people to be holy. If we cease to emphasize and pursue the holiness of God, all else that we do will come to naught. The only two things that separates us from anything else is the revelation of who God is and our holiness. You say, man, you folks are lucky. You get to feel God. We're not lucky because we feel God. Honey, there's sacrifice in here. We have laid some things on this altar. We have gotten up and walked away from some things. And that draws the Spirit of God close. Hallelujah. We pray and we seek the favor, not just the face, but the favor of God. And we have learned that one of the ingredients of God's favor is holiness. When truth is presented, understandably, it inevitably creates a revolutionary change and transformation. The gospel produces crystal clear sanity and reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say holiness. It's time for some of us to change from mortal to divine in our nature. In our nature. A worldly man will not walk into the sanctuary and say, "Hello, God, I know you're here. I feel your presence." But you will, because you've taken on a different nature. A worldly man will not come in here and just throw his bottles on the altar and just throw all this, his substances and sustenance and all of his addictions and afflictions. That's not going to come until the convicting power of God falls and the Spirit of the Lord draws them. But you will, because you've already been drawn by the presence of God. And it doesn't matter what He wants. What He wants, He gets. And that's what the world doesn't get. They don't understand it. Amen. But they do. Well, we look at Jacob. Jacob was basically a worm. Did not the scripture let you know that? Jacob, you worm. And so that's why he had to have his name changed. Can't be a man of God like that, father of many nations, and your name be worm. So his name was changed to Israel. And he did become the father of many nations. But it took some character change. Amen. Hallelujah. I spoke to our ministry last night and I said, if you're going to be used of God, you may have to walk with a limp the rest of your life. We can't say, "Bless me, Lord, but don't touch me." You can bless me, but don't mess with me. Amen. Holiness is just like a small seed. All you've got to say is, "I'm going to look into this. I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to seek God about this." Because the last thing I want you to do is participate in holiness just because I said so. But this is something the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that things are optional. It just simply means that you need to see this for yourself. And no matter how long it takes, we've got patience with you. And we're going to be here with you. We're going to love you whether you do or don't. Amen? But we are going to continue to teach the characteristics of God. And holiness is a major one. But holiness is indeed just like a seed. It cannot grow until it's sown. And when it is sown, Landmark, listen to me, some of you patriots that have been here for 100 years. When it's sown, it is not grown. Don't be putting pressure on people. We didn't put pressure on you. We didn't shove you around. We just preached it, shared it with love, and the care that God gave it to us with. Right? Amen. I remember I came into the church and my hair was way down my back and had a cross hanging out of my left ear. I know that don't mean much now, but it did then, and I want to tell you that right now. If it was in your right ear, you were funny. I wasn't funny. I was comical, but I wasn't funny. And the Spirit of the Lord Himself, before I ever read Corinthians, the Spirit of the Lord Himself began to deal with me about my hair. And I said, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I said, you're dealing with me here." I said, You think I'm worshiping my hair? I don't worship my hair. I don't have to have this. I'll prove it to you. I'll get it cut. Now, I'm going to let it grow back, but I'm just going to go. I'm going to get it cut. And I got it buzzed. My ears hadn't seen sunlight in a long time. It was in the middle of the summer in Florida. not kidding you. But I got it cut. It's been cut like that ever since. So why even let it grow back? If this is what you like, Lord, this is what you get. You know, hippies, they had a walk back then where their hair was down their back. You know, they'd walk and that hair had to do a certain thing, you know. I had the walk, I had the talk, and I just wasn't much to it. I just wadded all that up and just gave it to God. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Do you know there's probably been 150 different kind of hair fashions that have come and gone, even, yeah, I say, for men. But I haven't had to worry about a one of them. I just gave God what He liked right up front, and it's been that way ever since, and I've been so happy. I told Him, I said, I don't care if it turns gray, just don't let it turn loose. He's slowly but surely not keeping to His promise. There is a very clear call to holiness in the Scripture. I want to give you some Scriptures. I could be here all night with that. But let me give you some clear and very definite Scriptures. Number one, Leviticus 11 and 44. For I am the Lord, your God. He said, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Do you see that? We're in that frilly, lacy, cotton candy kind of religious generation that the Lord does all this. He's the one. You're holy because He's holy. You don't have to do. You don't have to say. You don't have to be. You don't have to go. You don't have to do. That's contrary to what the Lord is telling us here. When He said, therefore, sanctify yourselves. There are some things that we can do. And He said, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's another subject at the end of that scripture. Number two, Isaiah 52 and 11. Depart ye, means depart you. Somebody say me. Depart you, go ye out from thence, touch not no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, for ye be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now what is the vessel of the Lord? We are. You are the vessel. You are bearing the vessel of the Lord. Now listen. Some king ransacked the house of God and thought it was just any other place of business and stole cups and plates and saucers, went to his place and had a party and got drunk like animals. And a hand came out of heaven and wrote on the wall, Meanie, was it Meanie Tikal Upharsin? You've been found in the balance and you're wanting. And he died that night. And those were literal vessels. What would God do to those that would defile His human vessel? Second Corinthians 7 and 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. But you notice here now, this is New Testament. This is Paul. He said, having therefore these promises, we have the promises of God, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. In other words, when you see it, you pray over it, you fasted over it, you've made your decision, you see it's right from the Scripture, then do it yourself. I know there's people that say, I'm not going to do it until my heart. You need to study on your heart. It's deceitful. The Bible says it's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But look at that spirit man that's been born again. What's he saying? That godly consciousness. What's that man saying? What's he got to say about it? Amen. And then there, so when we come to the knowledge of it, then we can do something about it to draw closer to God. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So it's not just the spirit man that the Lord is concerned about. It is also our, while we're on this earth. Somebody said it's not the outside that God looks at. It's the inside. And you are right. But it is the outside that your neighbor is looking at. And your neighbor needs to see on the outside what God sees on the inside. Because the very word of God says man looks on the outside, God looks on the inside. And those that don't want to even come close to holiness use that as a leverage. But I'm telling you, they're misconstruing the scripture. And so we need to understand there's some things that we can do ourselves. Number 5, Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Men, the Lord's going to talk to you about your temper. We've got to bring it under subjection to the Lord. A temper that's under subjection is a part of holiness. Hebrews 12 and 14. Because we're not just talking about physical attributes here. We're talking about spiritual attributes. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. The Word of God says, follow peace with all men. You can be anybody's friend you want to be. Regardless if they want to be yours or not, you can still be theirs. You can still be theirs. And the Bible says, follow peace with all men. And holiness. And then it says, without these things, no man shall see the Lord. It's only befitting. He's going away to prepare a place for us. That place that he's preparing, guess what? It's holy. And we're not going to be comfortable there if we've never subjected ourselves to his holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Hello? We can't confess Christ and have the tongue of devils. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. So the question is, how can I be holy? In and of ourselves, we are not holy. Isaiah 64 and 6. This is the scripture that I referred to earlier. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Do you see that? It doesn't say that our living for God. It says our righteousness. So there are, he's talking to people that have already obtained holiness, have already obtained righteousness. You see that? He said, all of that is still as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. We come and we are gone. And our iniquities, like the wind, they have taken us away. And so even it is not our whole, what Isaiah is prophesying to the New Testament church is trying, he's trying to teach us that our holiness is not our salvation. And the reason I emphasize that tonight is because I have been to churches and preached for them that where their holiness is their God. They'll tell people at the door, no, can't come in here looking like that. Go home and change. Hey, what gives you the, who said you are God? Who said, hey, I've got a Bible that says, come as you are. You come as you are. You may not leave the same, but you come just like you are. You come in your filth. You come in your... Just come as you are. Ladies and gentlemen, there's millions of people out there that do not know better. But when they do know better, they're going to do better. There's one preaching to you tonight. I had no clue what holiness was. Amen. And so it was taught. And then it was bought. Praise God. Romans 3:10-12. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Because our holiness is not our God. It's a characteristic of God. We don't worship our holiness. I mean, don't you ever get so pious and legalistic until you worship your long skirts and your long sleeves and your long hair and your no makeup and your no jewelry or whatever it may be. Amen. Do not get to the place. I will not pastor a church that worships holiness. But I will pastor a church that falls in love with holiness. And that you are doing it not so that you can shine before men and be pharisaical and hypocritical and all of that. Amen. We do that because we love God and we love man. We love man. Amen. No matter who they are, what they are, where they come from, what race or color or creed they are. The Bible says, for of such were some of you, but ye are washed. You're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. We're not going through holiness to get to salvation. We've already got to salvation. Now we're going to go through holiness. So we've got to get it in order here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What that is simply saying is at best, at our very, very best, all we can do within ourselves is obey the Word of God, because we will never measure up to what God's true holiness really is. So we're going to do our best to at least do what the Word of God says. Then we fall on the grace of God, and that grace of God is faithful. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one way to be holy. We cannot do anything to be holy. In order to become holy, we must go to the source. Holiness is in the nature and in the character of God. I don't care how many times you speak in tongues. If you're nasty, if you're a carouser, if you're cheating on your wife, if you're filthy-minded, and I can go on and on and on. I'm almost apologetic because I know that in some areas of religion, you do anything you want to do and you're still going to be saved because you said, I confess Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Listen to me. I'm just telling you. Amen. If we are not hungry for the nature of God and willing to adopt and adapt to the nature of Jesus Christ, then we're not hungry enough. We are not hungry enough. At any given time within the Church of the Living God, I want to see 12 different levels of holiness. I want to see people that just came in last Sunday and don't know anything. And I want them to feel in their heart that the rapture takes place tonight, I'm going to make it. Amen. Knowing this, that same individual that received the Holy Ghost last Sunday, that next Sunday, a year from now, is not going to be near that same individual they were a year ago. Because they're advancing in the kingdom of God as the days go by. Am I making sense? I'm not making sense. making holiness optional here, but it's a growing thing. It's a pursuit thing. It's a natural thing to grow into and achieve and set your goals for. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. To where my goal is to pray 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day or whatever it may be, in the morning and in afternoon and in the evening. Your goal tonight may be to quit smoking cigarettes. Both of our goals are pertinent. Both of our goals are important. Hallelujah, because that's what we know makes God happy. Hallelujah. I've been in this thing over 30 years. Amen. I have a right to desire to pray 3 hours a day. Amen. You've been in this thing for 2 days. You have a right to set your goal to be delivered from cigarettes or marijuana or pornography or alcoholism or whatever it may be. Amen. Because we're both in the pursuit of holiness. We're in the pursuit of holiness. We're in the pursuit of righteousness. Praise God. I'm saying it that way because the devil can come to you and put pressure on you to move too fast. And the flesh can come and move on you to move too slow. But we've got to find that place with God that we have a growth rate with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. I remember when our boys were born, we'd take them in and they would check the growth of their head, the growth of their shoulders, the growth of their arms. Amen. And you know what? We would pray the same thing that you pray as parents. Lord, I hope it's a little more this time. I hope it's a little more this time. Because we know as parents that if that child stopped growing, something's wrong. That's what holiness is, ladies and gentlemen. If we stop growing in our holiness before the Lord, something's wrong. Amen. Because according to the Word of God, at our best, we never measure up. It's still filthy rags, but we're saved by His grace, and we're saved by His mercy. That doesn't mean we dump holiness. That doesn't mean we dump righteousness. He said our righteousness. So if we don't even have our righteousness, how filthy would that be? Hallelujah. Amen. To become holy, we've got to take on the nature and the character of Jesus. There's no such thing as holiness apart from God. When the Bible speaks of holy men, holy places, or holy things, it's because of their connection to God and their separation from normal things and given to God. When men, places, or things are severed from God, they cease to be holy and become unholy. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you. That's right. There will be financial blessings. There will be healings. And there will be holiness. Amen. Nearly done here tonight. Amen. As a child, you don't skip walking and ride a bicycle. I was a good walker. And I remember I couldn't hardly ride a bike. Standards represent distinction. Amen. He said, come out from among them. Not to be self-righteous. Because the Lord is saying, can you imagine what God looks at every day? I mean, think about it for 10 seconds and it can make you sick on your stomach. He has to look at that 24 hours a day. He just wants somebody that will just look like what He wants you to look like. He wants to be able, He's looking at that all of the time, pulling and convicting and trying to get them in the church. And every now and then it would be good for him to glance over there and to see an apostolic family. An apostolic couple driving along. Decent conversation. Decent dress codes. Decent looking. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord doesn't want to have to look at Brother Brown and say, turn around. I don't know if you're a man or a woman. You turn around, he still don't know. That's where we are. Right? They have physicians for that now. Lord have mercy. So that's why we have standards. They represent a distinction. God has always required His people to be distinct and separate from the world. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians. The next couple of weeks, we're going to get very distinct about holiness and standards. But I wanted to give you a general view of holiness tonight. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is the unclean thing? Them. Who's them? The world. The world. No names, but the world itself. Amen? Hallelujah. Number two, standards represent quality. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, chapter 9. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, the Word of God is saying this. Pastor Marshburn isn't. The Word of God is saying this about both you and I and any other child of God. Here's what He's saying. Ye are a chosen generation. Whoa. You are a royal priesthood. Whoa. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Yes, we are. So, now the salvation came freely. I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to remember this. It may be low cost, but it's not low class. Amen. He said that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are in the light now. And every day that we're in that light, it's going to shine on something new. And we need to adopt whatever that is. Am I right? Hallelujah. Let me move quicker here tonight. Standards represent unity. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Paul said, now I beseech you, in other words, almost begging, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That is not the doctrine we're hearing in this generation. Everybody, everywhere, and even all dogs are going to heaven. He said, that ye all speak, say it to me. Because we may not pass this way in a long time. Say it to me. The same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. None. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So we're going to learn together. We're going to grow together so that we can be in the same mind. What? One mind, one accord, one place. For the suddenly. Standards reflect ownership. Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Amen? Which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Not just in the church, but in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. There it is again. Hallelujah. Standards represent bonds of love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People that, well, let me just say, if we love God above all else, we'll seek to please Him, and our love will dictate the way that we live. We shouldn't view standards as the means to gain salvation. Actually, standards are a result of salvation. Why you look like that now? I've been saved. Why you walk like that now? I've been born again. Why do you go there? And I've been washed by the blood, sanctified by the Spirit, set free by the Holy Ghost. Amen. They've got to see it. They're going to ask you about it. And then you get to tell them. I don't want them saying, well, if that's being saved, I don't need none of that. They're just like they were. Maybe worse. Right? We're not going to be like we were. Maybe even better. Amen. Spirit of God, Philippians 2:17. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Somebody say His pleasure. His pleasure is holiness. Amen. And then standards are apostolic tradition. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And so, we are to hold the traditions of the apostles. Somebody said the apostles' days are gone. No, they are not. They are still here. In fact, they are red hot. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. That's powerful, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, you got to understand this. We have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I've heard preachers use that to nullify everything that I have said tonight. Why would Paul say all of that and then say, it really don't matter? Hello? Paul was simply saying that if there's any contention about it, just understand this. There's no such custom. There's no sense in having any contention about it because we don't preach against it. We're preaching it and believing it. Amen? The authority of the Scripture. And then we're done. You've been kind. The authority of the Scripture. We need to give the Bible authority to govern our lives. Amen? Authority here means jurisdiction. Let's give all that to the Word of God. Let's give it to the Word of God. It's the right command. The Scripture is the Word of God. It's got to have jurisdiction over our lives. No man has the right to change the Word of God. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself what will happen if you did try to change the Word of the Lord? Well, then let's look at Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. Somebody read that for me real loud. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Wow. Oh my God. Word of God's pretty serious, isn't it? Amen. The Word of God is pretty serious. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll give more next week. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. I want the piano player to come. I want to give an altar call tonight. I want to invite people to come tonight. Amen. And here's what I'd like to happen in this house. I don't want to tell you what to do, but here's what I'd like to achieve around this altar tonight. There are going to be people that are going to say, Lord, I have done things that I know better. I know better. But it's because we have not been in this area in so long, perhaps, that I've fudged, I've let it slip, and I've let it go. But tonight, you have reminded me of how important it is. Let's stand together. And knowing again and being refreshed my mentality of how important it is. I want to come tonight and repent. I want to come tonight and apologize. I want to come tonight and get back in line and get back in place. I want to come tonight and adopt holiness again. And then there are others going to say, Lord, all these places, all these steps that we're taking here lately, they're so new, they're so different, they're so... I just want to check it out, Lord, and I just want to use caution. I just want to look at it. I want to chew on it. I want to pray over it. I want anybody to push me. But I want to let you know, Lord, as I visit the altar tonight, that I am open for whatever you have for me. I'm open to any door that you would have me to walk through. And so there's going to be all kinds. There's going to be repentance. There's going to be refreshing. There's going to be renewing. Amen. You're going to say, Lord, I'm back. I'm back, and I'm back to do it better than I've ever done it before. In Jesus' name, if you'll help me. Amen. And then there are those tonight in this building that have a desire in your heart before you leave this building to be saved, to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to ask the church to pray right now. And as you push and as I pull, I want whoever will to come and visit with us at this altar right now. And let's pray together. Let's just reach out to God together. Amen. No matter what level, no matter where you are, what you're thinking, what your feelings are, let's just come together and reach out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's open our hearts, let's open our minds, let's open our spirits to the Lord tonight for His will, for His will, for His will, for His will to be done, for His presence to move.